Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Yo, peace. What up, family? Welcome back. This Collective Minds Radio. I'm Brother Kev with my co-host Rigel Starr and Mufasa Ra. What's up, y'all?
What it do?
How everybody doing? What up?
All is well.
All right. That's what's up on this Sunday evening. What is it, June? We still in June? What's today's date?
24th.
Today is the 24th of June. So do the mathematics on that. And, you know, this is Collective Minds. So hopefully, you know, just before we get in, I just, you know, want to let the family know if they just joining us. This is called Collective Minds because it started from an idea actually Rigel Starr had where we would have these conversations over my mom's crib or over the phone, you know, just had these great conversations. So we just figured we log them in and give the family a chance to share their thoughts on, you know, pertinent issues or topics that, you know, that affect the community. So, you know, that's Collective Minds. This is the What's On Your Mind episode. So call us in, call us up. Let us know what you think about this week, about what's going on in the world, different topics, provide solutions, different perspectives, what have you. The number is 929-477-1697. So before we get in the show, as usual, do we have any announcements? We go to ladies first. Rigel Starr, you got any announcements?
No any announcements for me today. No announcements.
Okay. And Mufasa Rob, my brother, do you have any announcements?
My only announcement is all praises be to God, Allah, the Most High, the Creator of all. And I am thankful for being able to breathe and be living and to be on here with y'all again. It is a pleasure and an honor to serve with you guys.
Indeed, indeed. Appreciate that. I second that, too. Just, you know, that's why I started off telling, just giving a little backdrop on the show. So I just repeat what Mufasa, my brother Mufasa, just said. Shout out to my two hosts. You know, we've been on for like a year and some months, and it's been a beautiful experience for me. You know what I'm saying? I look forward to talking every week. I look forward to interviewing different guests. I look forward to, you know, trying to make people think. And, you know, hopefully we can put these ideas out into the universe and get some solutions popping, you know, for the family and the community.
Year and a half. I had flashbacks of thinking when we did the first one, when we was having all them errors, them mistakes. Man, that was fun. And long pauses. And
right.
Feeling our way through. Just, that was fun.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we have grown since then. Hopefully, you know, the family has noticed some growth. And shout out to all the guests that we've had on the show as well. You know, we appreciate you spending some time with us. And, yeah, that's what's up. So this is Collective Minds again, family. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if y'all remember Jonathan Lancaster, the guy who gave us, he talked to us about Juneteenth last year. I ran into him last week. In fact, was it last week? It wasn't that long ago. Something midweek I ran into him. And he was saying that he would love to come back on again anytime we have something, you know, that's we feel like it's he'd be good to talk on. He said, hit him up. Feel free.
Okay,
oh, with that being said, too, I just got reminded of another announcement that I should have made. Currently in St. Louis, we got a African Center school by Pomoja. That's, it goes from grades one, take it back, grade one to the eighth grade. They've been trying to get a high school kicked off for quite some time now. And I ran into the administrator of the school a couple of days ago, and he said, finally, the high school is kicking off this year. So I was happy to hear that. So now we got African Center High School as well. For everybody, like I said, in the St. Louis area, it's going to be at the Sumner School. So it'll be Pomoja S. Sumner. So, yeah, it's growing.
Indeed.
It's growing.
Indeed. That's what's up. Yeah, glad to hear that. Shout out to them over there.
Never mind. We're fine.
Go ahead.
Did you ask him about the lights and stuff?
No, I didn't. I was hoping that I could link y'all together so you can spearhead that and be on the committee for greater lighting in the schools.
Well, Johnson Nichols and I did have that discussion before, though, at the time when I had my daughter enrolled in the school. But I was just wondering, was it any progress? But, you guys didn't touch base on it. It's fine.
I ain't been up to the elementary school, but I do need to go back up there just so I can visit and get some of that energy from them and get them some of mine. And I want to visit that high school. He said, like I said, this should be the first year, so I want to go up there and visit that too. So maybe we can get that in. In the beginning of this new year, we could do us a collective mind field trip and go up to the elementary school and the high school. Y'all know I'm down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, indeed. We have to look into that, no doubt. That sounds good. So, I guess without further ado, again, this is Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And like I said, this is What's On Your Mind episode, of Collective Minds, CMR. So, what's on y'all mind? It's been an interesting week. We had a lot going on. It was two rappers killed. It was a guy named Jimmy Wapo, who I've never heard of, from Pittsburgh, who had got shot. I believe he was like 21. And then the biggest story of the year as far as the hip-hop community is XXXTentacion was gunned down, murdered, leaving a motorcycle dealership. And the young man was 21. He had been in the news. Like, the first time I heard of the guy was he was on stage and somebody walked up on stage and knocked him out. You know what I mean? He caught a fade, boom. And that was one of the first times I actually heard of this guy. And I didn't go peep the music then. And then I ended up peeping the music because he did a controversial video where he had like a noose. And he had like a black kid and a white kid, and he ended up putting a rope or the noose around the white kid's head and, kind of symbolized hanging him. And that caused some controversy. People was upset.
Yeah,
he strung him up.
Do
that. Yeah, he strung him up. He strung him up. Yeah, okay, he strung him up. So, yeah, that was controversial. Like, how can you do that? But it's okay to show black people getting lynched all the time, but for some reason they had a problem with that, but. Anyway, but then I started to peep his music, and I realized, like, this kid had the attention of the youth. You know what I'm saying? And it might not have been our cup of tea or the older generation cup of tea, but for some reason, he's connecting with these kids. His music is kind of dark. He talks about depression, suicide, different things like that. So, when he had got murdered, it sent, the youth kind of felt it. They turned up in L.A. They had like a memorial, a vigil for him in L.A. They kind of turned up. So, but I think it's a conversation to be had as far as like the youth and the music that they're listening to. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody who got kids in that age range from like, 11, 12 on up to like early 20s, I think we should be in tune and kind of peeping out what the kids are listening to. That way we get a sense of what their perspective is and how they view the world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, like I say, he talked about a lot of different dark subjects and, suicide and depression and all that stuff. So as far as his popularity, what does that say, about the youth or whatever? But, I don't know if y'all want to speak on the young man passing or whatever.
Yeah, I remember when I first heard about the cat, it was about, a little over a year ago when he had a song that I just happened to, y'all know I'm always on YouTube, and I was browsing through some music, and I ran across him doing that song. It's a song, I think it was called Look At Me. And
right.
I don't know if y'all heard that song, but it's wild,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And I went and talked to my kids, because every time I come across something like that, we had this competition, like, who's gonna find the unsigned artist the quickest? So I went to my kids, like, look, I showed them that. I said, I guarantee y'all this dude gonna blow up. I say, this is the type of stuff that, you know, it's the type of energy that the youth is on. I'm like, watch what I say. This dude gonna blow up. And fast forward, you know, he had started building up some steam. He had a little following going. You know, and also I wanted to touch on that the dude had, he started off kind of negative, but in some of his music, from what I heard, he had started switching up and becoming more conscious. Just like with that video you were talking about that he did, the controversial video. And I was watching Sinetta TV. That's a another big YouTube channel for people who don't know. But he was saying that he had reached out to, I mean, the young brother had been reaching out to a few of the conscious-minded people on YouTube and just getting information on different things. So I think he was in the process of, you know, kind of changing over to be more of a social artist.
Right.
I even saw a video where he had went to some kids' school and, like, donated a bunch of material and TVs and PlayStation stuff, and it was like, no, I think it was a Groupon. I'll take that back. It wasn't a school. It was a Groupon. And it was, you know, for kids who was striving to do better. So
exactly,
it looked like,
right,
to me, in my opinion, the young man was trying to straighten his life out and do good for himself, and I hate that happened to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that he had to get gunned down like that.
Yeah, they end up catching the guy that did it. You know, apparently it was he was targeted for a robbery, they saying. And I just found out today that they go have his funeral in, like, some stadium, 20,000-seat stadium in Miami or Miami area. And it's going to be an open casket. And I think that's coming up this week. So I expect there's going to be a lot of people there because, like I said, he got a cult following. He got fans. And, you know, they like the young dude. And like you were saying, the guy, he was only, what, 20 years old, you know what I'm saying? And when he first came out.
Yeah, he was young.
Yeah, he was real young. And when he first came out, he was making mistakes. They say he beat up his pregnant girlfriend and did some other type things.
He was fighting all the time. Did you see some of
the
fight videos in?
Nah, I ain't never peeped too many of them. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple videos that show his altercations. Show us little altercations that he was having, You
right,
know, actually,
like
to me, the dude could have had another career as a fighter, in my opinion.
Oh, possibly. Yeah, he said, I know he had said in, like, an interview he used to fight all the time, but he was turning that page, and like you say, he was coming around, and he was on, you know, a love frequency and really trying to correct his ways and move forward, you know, and that just goes to show, like, we can't be writing off young people like that. Some are washed up, don't get me wrong. Some of the youth, they just may not get it, but I think for the most part, we got to give the youth a chance to evolve and come around. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we'd have gave up, if the world or Malcolm X would have gave up on himself, you know, and just stayed Detroit Red, you know, we wouldn't have Malcolm X right now. So it's a lot of times you got to, you know, let the youth make their mistakes and give them time and chances to evolve and come around. So, yeah, that was an unfortunate event. But being a hip-hop fan, I felt like it did affect the community, like it touched a lot of people. And like I say, the guy had a lot of followers and a lot of fans. So, you know.
Who was this other cat you say got hit up?
This guy was from Pittsburgh. I'm not familiar with his music or anything. He was like 21, and from what I hear, it was a murder as well.
Nice.
Yeah, got shot. Yeah. So I don't know, man. There's something going on in hip hop, man. It is a long list of hip hop artists that have been murdered or gunned down. You know, like we could start with Skylar Rock. Like, some of these names I'm gonna read off, y'all may have heard of, some of you may have not. Skylar Rock, D-Boy Rodriguez, Stretch, Big Stretch. He was running with Tupac and Biggie back in the day. Seagram, Tupac Shakur, Yaki Gaddafi. He was one of the Outlaws. Notorious Big, Fat Pat, Big L, Freaky Ty, DJ Uncle Al, Jam Master J, Sabotage, Camouflage, Half a Mill, Soldier Slim, Mac Dre, Proof from Detroit, used to run with D12 and Eminem, Big Hawk out of Houston, Dollar, Magnolia Shorty out of New Orleans, Bad News Brown. Like, the list is so long. Lil Fat, Lil JoJo, Doe B, Chinks, Bankroll Fresh, 3-2, like, it's just so many. And these are the ones that have been murdered by gun violence. So, you know, I just want to ask y'all real quick. Y'all ain't got to be, you know, long or whatever. But why do y'all think this happens to this particular genre of music? Does the lyrics bring it on ourselves? Is it our culture? Is it the hood? Is it everything? I don't know. Like, how do you explain a genre of music and these people are being murdered like this? Like, I don't know.
I mean, there's really no way to make it make sense, because it's really just what you think. You know, just what you said. It is the culture. It's the mentality. You know, it's the lifestyle in which hip-hop kind of birthed from. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, it came from within the black community. You know, the hood, whereas people that, you know, we struggled with things. We had challenges. So it was kind of birthed from that. And unfortunately, those are the consequences to the things that we rap about, the fighting and the shooting and the drugs.
Right.
You know, those are part of the consequences that, you know. So I just think it is, just like you said, it's the culture. It's just the essential place. It's the nucleus of just where it was birthed from. You know, I just think, unfortunately, you know, it's the mentality. Do it have to be, does hip-hop have to be so, I guess, to have us in a situation where we're shooting and killing? No. But it's the mentality, though. You know, if it's our mentality to rap about that. And some people, of course, you know, you hear people all the time that kind of pick on or make fun of studio gangsters and stuff like that. So the last thing somebody want to be recognized as a studio gangster. So even if it's just the mere fact of just trying to live that life, just so they don't be called a studio gangster. You know, unfortunately, sometimes people just go all out and do that. You know, so I just think it's the mentality and the culture and just the, you know, just what have hip hop just wrapped up. You know, it's just all of that. That's what I think.
Right. Okay. Indeed. Well, I guess we'll leave that right there for now. another interesting, not unless you wanted to chime in, Mufasa.
I was just gonna add in that you know, it's just the culture of our youth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Raju has said it that way, but just, I mean, you look how the shootings that happen in our community anyway, and that's where all the hip-hop artists come from. I mean, they come from the inner-city communities, a lot of them, so that's just, the behavior just carries on into the hip-hop culture, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, because you're supposed to be rapping to kind of get away from that type of lifestyle and foolishness. But I guess, like you said, it's kind of hard to escape being that's the environment, you know, that the music come up out of. So,
well, I'm finna have a bit.
Yep. That's kind of interesting. Mufasa, you can use your line, brother. But, yeah, so the next now, I want to get into this because I want to know how y'all feel about this immigration thing that's going on with, you know, they was making a big fuss about putting the people in basically internment camps, or these little camps that they created and was separating the parents from the kids. And, you know, everybody made a big fuss about that. So how do y'all feel about them separating the kids, or is that an issue? Should we care? Should black people not care? Like, what's going on?
I think it's definitely an issue, and people should care, you know, because people are getting, you know, hurt behind it. You know, families are being torn apart. I know they would like for it, you know, for people to be numb to it, because it's that particular thing also was done to the black community when, you know, in the beginning for slavery, you know, separation of families.
Right.
You know, it's another mental strategy, you know, to weaken, you know, a link that could possibly turn around and come against them. I think it's a serious issue, you know, and I've heard other people, you know, relate to it with slavery, and you can't help but do that. You know, I don't understand, like, what excuse are they using? Like, what's their rationale behind it? Because that's what I never had the opportunity of knowing. I never got that deep into the story to understand what is the rationale behind doing it. I don't get it, especially as a parent.
Right. Their rationale their rationale is you taking a risk by crossing the border, and when you commit a crime, then they have the right to separate the child from the parents or whatever. That's their rationale, anyway. They saying, hey, you committed a crime.
Like, child, or are they taking the parents? Are they taking
the
parents to punish them? And since the parents have children, they now have to find a place for the children. Or are they saying, we're going to punish you parents for doing this by taking your child?
Well, it's kind of both. They taking the parents because they got to detain the parents, right? So the parents broke the law by coming across the border illegally, quote unquote. So they taking the parents, putting them in a situation, but then if the parents coming with their kids, then they got to separate the kids and put them somewhere, you know. So,
it's basically if your house get kicked in, if you selling drugs out the house, and they kick in your house and the kids there, they gonna put the kids in DFS.
Right.
That's what I was saying. That's what I wanted to be clear. Are they taking the children as a punishment to the parents, or are they saying, okay, parents, you broke the law. Unfortunately, you have kids, so we have to find a place for your child. So it's really them taking
that's
the parents'
going on.
Sense. But I still get it, though. But I just wanted to know, like, on what angle was it? Was them, were they taking the kids, or were they taking the parents? But based on what y'all saying, they are reprimanding the parents, and since they have children, now they have to have a place to put the kids while they do whatever they're going to do to the parents for breaking the law.
Right.
Hey,
I'm
going to ask y'all something. This is going to open up a whole nother can of worms. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Now, us as black people here in America.
I know where this is going.
Bring it, brother. Bring it.
I just want to know why are these immigrants, why are they fighting to come over here so bad? Why do you even come? Why not just, stay in your own country and fix it? Why do you want to be over here? That's all I was going to ask, like, because we already talked about how we're trying to set up, we want our own thing. We're trying to get our own section of, you know, of land or whatnot. So I'm like, what is going on? What's going on over there so bad that they like, man, we got to go to America? Or what is it that they really get out of coming over here? I mean, why are they fleeing so much? Why we got to keep on even going through all this immigration stuff? What's going on over there that they got to get over? They want to get over here so bad. What y'all think on it? Is it because they country just persecuting them so bad, or is it because the opportunities here are so great?
Well, I think that unfortunately, this people humanity, what we are seeking is a lot of comfort and luxury, things, and I think the opportunity for that is greater here than it is in those other countries. So I think it's a lot of what you said, you know, the opportunities more so that they see anyway, and what they see is really only the material things that they see that Americans have, you know, the lifestyle that's glorified. That's really what they see. But, you know, as far as the other things, you know, they don't pay attention to the laws and how people are being treated, and, you know, they don't pay attention to those types of things. It's just the shadow thinking of the material items that's glorified. That's what I think. And I'm only speaking from a person that has at least had one opportunity to go to a different country that would be one of the ones that would try to come here, you know. And I know from talking to other people when I was over in Africa, that's the reason that they like to come here. The opportunities, that's what I've heard, that they can get more things, they can make more money. The living conditions, if you compare the two living conditions, like I said, it's a little more comfort and luxury when you think in terms of living conditions. So it seems
so these
like...
Illegal, I was going to say, these illegal immigrants, the ones we talking about, are they coming from Mexico? Is that basically where they coming from? The ones that had this problem with the kids getting taken?
Right. My understanding, they actually coming from Central America, most of them, like Nicaragua, Honduras, you know, a lot of Central American countries. Through Mexico, though, you know, I think they're coming up through Mexico. So I'm sure there's probably some Mexicans in there as well, but mostly from Central America.
Right. And I've been to Mexico as well. And the living conditions are, like I was saying, if you compare it, it is definitely different here than there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Mexico.
Would you live there?
I mean, if I had to, it wouldn't be my first choice. If someone said, "Hey, go wherever you want to go," I don't know if it would be my first choice, but I can go back and visit.
I'm just tripping out the fact that, you know, that these people are really fighting so hard to come over here. It's like, can't y'all fix
their family and
stuff? Yeah, you risk
like,
going through all that. Yeah.
And is it that serious? Like, what are you expecting?
Yeah,
right. I think I think
what are you escaping?
For a lot of them, they escaping poverty. They escaping, like, I mean, everything, you know, Roger Starr just said, they escaping poverty, opportunities, more opportunities over here. Because we got to look at it, you know, America is the richest country on the planet. So there are a lot of things that, you know, that you can do to create opportunities. And I think that's what they're coming for as opposed to their country. Their country may be poor. They may have a corrupt leader in place or whatever, you know, and things like that that could be oppressing the population. So they just come for opportunity.
So that opens the doorway to something else that's on my mind. Because we always seen the president, the United States president, meeting with all these other countries. Like, why come we don't see more meetings between presidents from, you know, Mexican president, the ones from down, you know, South America, more leaders from South America, to try to figure out how they can help resolve their poverty issues and their drug problems down there, so these people ain't having to flee from their own countries to get here. You know what I'm saying? Don't that kind of strike y'all as eye? You don't see it. You don't see that on TV all the time, and that being broadcasted. That, you know, President Trump or whatever president it was of the United States is not meeting with those leaders to try to help them figure out what their issues are.
Right. Well, you know. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, I was just gonna say, I know exactly why you asked that. I wouldn't quite call it. I thought, unfortunately, it's to be expected, because to be in rulership and being that type of power, you have to be a certain type of person. It's not for everybody. You know, just like when we was watching, when we watched Wakanda, what Black Panther father said to him, you do have to have a certain people in leadership and presidents and things like that. You have to be a certain type of, you have to have a certain type of personality and a certain type of spirit up on you. And for some reason, I don't know if it's the power or what, and I'm not, and I don't want to make it sound like I think that every person that's in power, leadership, that or president of a country is corrupt, but you do have to have strong personalities. You got to be able to walk away from some stuff in a sense. You have to be strong enough to do things that most people couldn't do. Remember what Black Panther father told him? Your heart is too good. You know, so I think that when you, I'm not saying that I'm surprised, but it is something to be unfortunately expected because that's how they are staying in power, by doing this crazy thing and corrupt things that they're doing that's keeping the situation like that. If they was to start saying, okay, you know what, let's fix these things.
Is
going
up
to weaken them and diminish them because they're going to have to share their wealth. They're going to have to take away from themselves, and they're just not going to do that. Unfortunately, they're just not going to do that. They're going to do the bare minimum.
Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because we got to think about it. Like, the reason why these countries are this stable and they have all these problems with drugs, a lot of that has to do with America itself. So America runs this hemisphere, the Western hemisphere. So that's North America and South America. The United States, the corporation, runs this whole hemisphere, basically. This country destabilized, like Roger Starr said, because they don't want to share the wealth and they want to keep them beneath them. America wants to keep these countries dependent on them and beneath them.
Yes, exactly. So
and the power of the dollar, they can buy these countries or buy these leaders and put them in these countries. This has been going on since like the 60s and 70s.
Exactly. And like you said, they buy the who they want to put in place.
They buy the people they want to put in place.
They want it to. It's not like these issues that we have in this world, it's not like we can't solve these problems.
Right, exactly.
These problems can be solved, fixed, but it's not. Why? Because of the people that's in power. They're not going to change it, and they can't.
It's a good segue. That leads into this, because the president's wife, Melania Trump, went to go see the immigration kids, quote unquote. And she wore a jacket that said, "I really don't care."
Yeah.
Now think about that. We're talking about the first lady of the United States going to one of these camps, and she had the audacity to wear this jacket.
"I don't care."
"I really don't care. Do you?"
Yeah, that's
basically asking, "Do you care? I really don't care, but do you care?" with a question mark.
Dang, that was deep.
Exactly.
That was deep.
Exactly.
So that's letting where our head is.
But of course, her publicist, you know, said that it didn't have anything to do with that. They were talking. Would you say they were talking to the media? Right. That's what they.
They said they were talking to the media, saying whatever the media was saying about it.
Yeah.
But
that message was media.
Yeah, you could have wore that
on another day.
You could have wore that on another day to get that message to either. Not when you go see the kids, but
exactly. And for one, when did she become the person for the media? I mean, to give messages to the media. If anything, Trump should have had on the shirt that said it. That's the message to the media. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That just don't make no sense. What did you? going to get a message.
Oh, you could have tweeted like you do everything else.
Right.
You could have tweeted like you do everything else, for real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought
that was straight up ignorant.
That was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like just putting it in your face. So, now here's another thing that y'all may not know that kind of slipped under the radar that people don't know about. The United States under Trump has withdrew from the UN Human Rights Committee or Council. So that means the United States is no longer part of the UN Human Rights Council. So to me, that kind of signifies that, you know, we may want to be on the lookout that some things may be coming down a pipeline as far as human rights go. You get what I'm saying? Like, this is already, when they was putting them in them camps, that was already a human rights crisis for real with people, you know, with their outrage or whatever. But now that they withdrew from the United Nations Human Rights Council, it's kind of like they planning to do something. That way they can't be held accountable by this particular UN, you know, governing body, even though we know the UN is basically bought and paid for by the U.S. But the fact that they withdrew, I think that says a lot. You know, there's something coming down the pipe where they don't want to be held responsible for some human rights violations that's about to take place. But that was a little blurb in the news. A lot of people may not have caught it or whatever. But, you know, do the research, do the Googles on that, put your Googles on, and take a look at that. And that's something that, you know, we should keep in our heads, in the forefront of our heads as we, you know, move forward. At least I am.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. I heard some of that today. Y'all know it's Sunday, and I was at the mosque today. And the brother who gave his lecture mentioned that. So... Y'all was just made aware of that this morning.
Yeah, they kind of, like I say, they didn't spend a lot of time on it, but they put news out there to let you know what's going on. That way you can't be like, well, you could be like, they ain't said nothing, but they kind of put it out there. So, you know, we shall see. But, you know, my whole thing with the immigration thing is like Roger Starr said, Black kids and Black families have been separated for a long time, and nobody seems to care. So now all of a sudden it's happening to these kids, which, yeah, it is horrible. It's always sad when parents get separated from their kids. That's never a good thing. But it's been a lot of, you know, pain going on in the Black community. Nobody seems to care. So I'm like, I mean, we have to be fair around. All children matter. You dig what I'm saying? Like, we can't just be picking sides. All children matter, you know. So speaking of that, that leads into, it was a brother in Pittsburgh, on unarmed, a high school kid. They say he was on an honor roll, good kid or whatever, and got shot 3 times by the police in Pittsburgh. You know, so that's another shooting. I think the family out in Pittsburgh, they've been protesting and having candlelight vigils and all that, which, you know, we talked about this before. Kind of seemed like the same old story, huh? Cause I'm not sure the protesting and all that stuff is that effective these days. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah,
know, I
and
get it
also,
too.
And also, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. But ain't the full story that he was escaping a car? They was running from the police.
That is the story I heard too. But now remember, we gotta keep the narrative that's coming out from the mass media. We gotta take that with a grain of salt because we don't know. You know, I'm just saying I would take it with a grain of salt because we know how the media lies. We know how they manipulate stuff, you know, and twist stories. So I did hear that as well, but I'm thinking that is the officer's version. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure what
I don't know, kid.
What the other kids in the car were saying. But yeah, I mean, I heard the same thing, but I'm still taking it with a grain of salt, like I said.
Yeah, they said one person was detained.
Right.
One person was detained. One person got away, and he was one guy shot. Because you already know what I'm going to say.
Right. I'm with you. But even if he was running, he shouldn't have been shot. You know what I'm saying?
But here goes the other thing. But here go the other thing. They said that they were stopping them because their car was coming from another shooting. Apparently, they had shot somebody.
Allegedly. This is allegedly.
Let's say if that's all true. Yeah. Now let's just say if that's the case, if that's how it went down, that police here, you know, it was a shooting that just happened. Suspects getting away in this car. Description, blah, 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 blah. Then when he jumped down on them and they go to running, okay, now you just admitted guilt that you're the person we're looking for and you just shot somebody. So with that being said, hey, I ain't mad that Libby got shot. I mean, because
they just went,
what about the dude who they shot? They shot somebody.
His
life matter.
If they even shot somebody, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm playing the devil's advocate and saying, if that was the case that it went down like that, would you still be mad that they shot the dude?
Well, here's the thing. Because if the officer's life is not in danger, then I don't think he has the right to shoot him. If somebody's running away from you and you don't see no visible weapon, which the young man did not have a weapon, from my understanding, then no, he shouldn't be shot.
Even though he possibly just shot somebody.
Yeah, then you got to take him to court. That's what the court's for, right or wrong. I mean, that's what the court is. Either what type of system do we have? Do we have where you get due process before the law, or can the police just shoot you and be the, you know, the judge and the executioner? Which one is it? You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're not being threatened and someone is running away from you, clearly.
Yeah.
Like, why are you shooting him? You're like, that's just hunting somebody down, even though he could have possibly shot somebody else. Which, from his record, I don't know if everything is lining up that way. He doesn't seem like the type of kid, even though I don't know him, but I'm just judging from the facts that I have as far as, you know, how he was in school. And they put out a poem that he wrote, and he was saying some things that were kind of, you know, kind of deep and like this kid kind of, you know, kind of get it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But what I do know
is... Yeah, sound like he may have been running with the wrong group.
That's possible. But that still don't mean you should be shot for that either. Like, either he get his chance in court or... I mean, they should just put it out there. If the police can just shoot you without due process, then just make billboards and blast it on the news. That way we know. So,
white lady that choked out the police officer?
This is a white family that choked out. It was two police officers responded to a domestic disturbance call, a white family, and somehow, one of the ladies in the family got a hold of one of the officers, started choking him, almost unconscious. And they, of course, everybody was apprehended. Nobody got shot. You know, just another day. Everybody lived. They got to, you know, see their day in court. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I understand, you know, what you're saying. Like, yeah, he done it. All that is fine and dandy. If you do something wrong, okay, right. But we're talking about just the fact how it's a double standard. Just like with the one, even like we're talking about with the black guy that shot the white lady, they end up charging him, right, with murder and manslaughter, right? I don't know what's going on with that case yet, but they charged this officer. He fired and everything. That don't happen when it's a black officer. And it ain't even whether... And there's been plenty of things, plenty of similar cases like that. There's no reason why that man should be fired and charged. Every other white officer get off in those situations.
This is true.
Facts.
It's a double standard. Not about
if they did it right,
but punished in the way that the system is set up to be punished for. You know, the double standard is a whole separate situation. That's separate. That's a separate argument because it's it's like, man, they didn't charge that black guy, that black officer that shot that woman. And I'm sure he was just as nervous as the white officers be. And he shot her. They fired him and charged the man with murder and manslaughter.
Well, even though I know y'all just hit me, with three or four other cases, but I'm gonna go back to this one with this kid. And unfortunately, I just gonna have to say that you shouldn't have ran from the police when you run from the police.
And you black. You gotta throw that in.
And you black. And you black.
That's the real.
You opening the door to getting yourself murdered. You know what I'm saying?
And
it's hard for me to feel sorry for you, like I said, because from my studies of the case, y'all shot somebody. So if you hadn't shot somebody, then maybe your little ass wouldn't have got shot. Maybe if you wasn't rolling with somebody that just shot somebody, you wouldn't have been shot. So that particular case right there, you definitely won't find me protesting. Now, I feel sorry that he was a good man, a good young man that wrote poetry and all that. But, man, you shouldn't have been with the wrong crowd, with the wrong group of kids. Y'all just shot – one of y'all shot somebody and then ran. I mean, what about that dude's life? What about the person who got shot? So I'm not protesting for him. In my opinion, you did a dumb act. You made a dumb decision. Y'all shot somebody, and you karma is a bitch. you just got it. What was you thinking?
I mean, he was a young man.
That was just stabbed up. Did you read about that case?
Oh, the video, I seen that. Was in the box.
What'd they say that was all about?
Mistaken identity.
What was that over?
Mistaken identity. They say that those boys, which were, I think they was 18 or 20-something, one of their sisters apparently was involved in a video where some guys had ran a train on one of the boy's sister and put it on social media. So her brother called and met the guy who did it, and it was the wrong boy. They went and stabbed the wrong boy and killed the wrong boy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and his family and witnesses feel like if he would have got the correct response, he would have lived, because they were the police officers there, they were saying that wasn't even helping. So that's why what made me look at it, because I kept noticing the headlines and they was attacking the police officers. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, they said the boy was stabbed, did the police stab him? But then when I got more into the story, I think they were saying that the police officers didn't do anything about it. I just thought that was ridiculous, but they were, I know a lot of people had talked about it. They stabbed that boy.
In that video I saw, it looked like he was able to get up and walk around for a minute. And he ran off, I don't know, to go, I guess ran to help. I don't know where he ran off to, but he ran out the footage. I don't know.
Yeah, that was crazy. And hot off the press, Cardi B donated, some money to, I guess, his funeral or raising, because she's from the Bronx as well. You know, I don't know if she knew him personally, but she's from the Bronx. And yeah, that was a messed up incident. That video was terrible.
Mistaken identity. And that's how I knew they figured either he had done something or they thought he did something because of that way they manner of approach.
The way they attacked,
they
right.
came
that's
from all four corners. Like, Nikki. We ain't finna let him get away.
Yep.
I'm like, dang. You know,
yep,
that's
one of the first things I be thinking when I see videos like that. Well, what did the person do that made them do that? That's the first thing I ask. Like, well, what did he do? And that's where I found it was a mistaken identity.
Now let me ask y'all this: if now this is just hypothetical, say if the police would have rolled up and shot all them dudes dead, y'all think would the police have been wrong?
I mean, depends on legally. Yeah, they would have been wrong, but
right.
if I was, you know, one of the victims, you know, loved ones or just somebody, yeah, you got compassion. Of course, you're gonna be like, shoot, yeah, get them, you know. But unfortunately, the United States have different laws, because like over in Africa, you can do something like that, and you won't be wrong at all.
Yeah, so just hopefully you get the right person.
Right, that's the thing.
Yeah, getting the right person.
That's the thing, when you do stuff like that, you got to make sure you're getting the right people.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about...
You know, I mean, even our law...
Yeah.
I was just going to say, even the Justice Department, even the, you know, even the authorities... get the wrong people and have mistaken identity. People get tried and get hit up with bunk cases all the time.
All the time.
You know what I'm saying?
Fact. Yeah.
So.
That is the actual fact.
They already, sometimes they releasing people from prison who they done had locked up 20-something years and they give you some money. That just happened to somebody here recently. You know,
who was locked up
and they let them go and figured out that, hey, we held you unjustly, you wasn't the right person, and they pay you some money like they're supposed to fix it, that you just had me locked away for 17, 20 years, and you gave me some money, and I'm supposed to feel better.
Yeah, man. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right, and that's why I've always been personally against capital punishment. Because I'm like, what if you killed the wrong person? You know, like, what if you have misunderstood the situation and this person don't? Because we are human and we can make those types of errors. Brother Kevin, do you remember a time we was real young and you wouldn't take out the trash, you was living on Page, and that man go up and down. You was trying to...
Yeah, I broke into his house.
Yeah.
Yeah,
up
I remember
and
that.
Down. He said he was calling the police and everything. Brother Kevin came in the house. We was real young. Came in the house crying like, what is going on? My mom was like, what is going on?
Right.
Man thought it was him, and it was not. But you couldn't tell that man that it wasn't him.
Right, right. I seen the guys run out the house, too. It was the little kids I used to play with, you know. Like we used to jump, you know, jump on the mat and tumble, you know, you got the matches in the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be out there tumbling. But this time I'm taking out the trash, and they was with a couple of older kids, and they decided to run up into the old man's house. And as I'm taking out the trash, I see them bolt out the back door. Boom. They just running. And I'm at the trash can looking like, and I put the trash in, and by the time I started to walk back to my house, the old man came out like, hey, you was just in my house. You live there. He got the going off. Like, I'm about to call the police. I'm like, no, I had to be about what? We maybe first grade, first, second
grade.
Yeah,
we was real young. Yeah, we were young.
Yeah, six,
I
seven.
I just think if it was today's time. I just think in today's time, that man had a call.
Right.
And the police had
man.
A cane. They would, him
exactly.
as a young boy, they know they would have him locked up.
Now
and
look,
handcuffed.
And here go the,
all kind of stuff.
Here go the killer. Here go the killer, because they would have shot me, and the story would have been I was breaking in the house, and I was running. The police shot me. The man said they had guns. You see how the story could have went. The man said they had a gun, and I'd have been laid out, not able to tell my story. I'm just taking out the trash.
Yeah.
Even though I knew a couple of the guys, the little guys. You know what I'm saying? From just tumbling. Now, we wasn't real good, buddy, but, you know, from just being outside. But, yeah, and that could have went like that. That could have went left real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have been like you would have been like Tamir Rice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And we would have been like, he wasn't like that. He
was right,
a good
yep.
kid.
Like, he wasn't like
he
that.
Wasn't...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, this something too I want to make sure that I get y'all opinion about too before I get too late. Is I don't know if y'all heard about when Louis Farrakhan did his Savior's Day speech. And ever since then, the last like 3 or 4 speeches he's done after that, he's been attacking the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So did y'all know that they had unverified his Twitter account?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember that?
I remember you told us that.
So, like a week ago.
So, yeah, so he's been under attack to where as they going so far as the plan is they're trying to make laws to like make the Nation of Islam illegal.
Oh.
You know, yeah,
oh.
Like it's illegal to be, like it's straight up illegal to join.
Oh, no.
Oh. Now that would
and this
be
is
unprecedented.
All,
that's crazy.
You
that
know?
Would be crazy.
Yeah. Now here go. Now before I even go too far into that, what killed me is everything he said about them. I mean, was either biblically based or just saying how they should be righteous. So they
right.
took so much offense. You say something about some Jews, you under so much hell and hot water that now you get attacked. You get your accounts, your social media accounts shut down. You get labeled as being an anti-Semite, anti-Semitic, you know, your organization get labeled as a hate group. All this about speaking ill will of the Jewish community, right? But now, kill me, and to me it's just show you just how they got to be our enemy. Because a lot of the Jewish people own all these record labels and entertainment companies. That throw out all the negative imagery and songs that, you know, of black people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's okay to spew that hate. It's okay to spew that. Black on black hate. That's cool. But if you say anything demeaning at all about the Jewish community, you get shut down. They coming for you.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Yep. They coming for you quick, fast, and in a hurry.
They coming for you.
So,
they coming for you. What make them so special? What
make
them so great?
They make them
right, that's what I was saying. They organize. They organize.
Yeah.
They organize.
They make themselves special and great.
Yeah. I thought that was just, you know, so outlandish that y'all can attack Farrakhan over saying, hitting y'all with some truths, but you make money off of seeing us degrade each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
Did y'all know it was a shooting and stabbing at the Galleria Mall yesterday? Inside the Galleria?
No, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
No. Shooting inside too, or just a stabbing?
Definitely a stabbing inside, but they were saying some people saying that they also heard shots, and they found shells too.
Shell case. Oh man.
Yeah.
That is.
It was a fight inside the Galleria. Somebody got stabbed and all that. So it stemmed from a fight.
Now, a lot of people would say the Galleria wouldn't have all these problems if the Metrolink didn't go out there.
Yeah, a lot of people do say that. A lot of people say that, yeah. And I can see that, too, unfortunately. Yeah, I think, you know, how y'all feel about carrying guns and stuff? Yeah, I think we should be able to carry guns, or y'all think it should be legal or illegal?
Yeah, I'm definitely a gun toter. I believe heavily in guns. I always believe in carrying a pistola.
Right, my thing is,
be caught. We did them without it.
Right, right. In this world, I think you should exercise that Second Amendment right. But I'm against guns totally, though. I think if nobody had guns, I wouldn't like. Only reason I think you needed guns is because these other people out here with guns that are not responsible.
Hey, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
you know, and so to take away guns from the civilians, that's hurting us.
Exactly. That's
you put us even more at risk of the criminal element.
What it is.
They say it's like 3 to 4 guns for every American. And we talking about America probably got a population of 280 million to about 300 million people. You know what I mean? We talking about 3 guns per person. So that means some people ain't got no guns. Some people got 10. Some people got 20, 30. So we created a climate in America to where, Mufasa say, the regular civilian needs to have a gun because there's so many guns out here in the hands of irresponsible people, criminals, people want to do, negative activity or whatever. So the regular common folk does need to have them some, just to get a person up off you. But also, now, if I could go Cosmic Kev on y'all for a second, because my other thing is, I'd be like, a gun is still not going to stop you from death. Like, I'm just thinking on a whole nother level. When it's your time to go, you're going to go, whether you got one gun, whether you got 10 guns or 20. When it's your time, when your time is up, it's time for you to go, and a gun's not going to save you. You know what I'm saying? That's my me being cosmic and just metaphysical thinking. When it's time to go, a gun is not going to save you. You know, and that's just what it is on another level. You know, I mean, I get it as far as, the self-defense and all that. But like I say, when it's time to go, then that's just...
I think if you're going to carry it, I think it's more useful if you carry it, if you have it on you versus locked away in the safe, one clip here, one bullet there, gun there. Like, shoot, by the time you try to put everything together, unlock this and clip that and stick this here and all, shoot, you've been shot up. I'm like, I don't see the benefit in that if you don't have it. But so you think everything is predestined?
On
some things, it's predestined.
Pick and
choose.
Yeah, I mean, once it happened, that's the universe of putting a stamp on it. It is what it is, as my brother Mufasa say. Once it go down, it is what it is. So,
it is
folks should exercise that right, especially black folks.
Well, all I can say is I look at it as still, if I got it, and if it ain't my time, then I got that tool right there to save my tail. Like
you
said.
There you go. Yeah.
Just in case it ain't my time to go. I'm ready.
Got it right there.
So, Mufasa, you think everything is predestined to?
Ooh, boy, you hitting me with a deep one here. Dang. Oh, man.
You hit it. Cosmic Kevin.
You hit me with
it. To the cosmos.
I took us to the cosmos. We might not come back down.
It took us to the cosmos.
Hey, I'm not really.
We may have to extend the show.
Hey, you got me. I wasn't quite prepared for that deep of a question. But I guess surface level,
okay.
I would have to say at this moment, I would have to say, oh, man. I had to say no. because I think if you have the right tools of willpower, you can change something that you can change something that may have been coming your way. You know,
right. I agree.
You get what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree. I've come because
so, we still have the power. We still have the power within to alter.
Yeah.
To alter
right.
things.
I totally agree. And I ask that because as I grow and learn more and experience life more and elevate and evolve, I have changed. I used to think that, you know, when I was younger. Like I said, I have changed to a new level of understanding where I don't think it is. You know, so I agree with that.
Right.
We have power to change. We co-creators, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Generator, operator, destroyer, DOD.
Yeah, I showed it here. None of y'all came back and gave me y'all report of the Mac movie.
I ain't seen it, but I'm gonna keep it real. Yeah, we had talked about it. It was Superfly. The remake of Superfly came out.
You seen
Superfly?
It?
Now I've heard. No, I haven't seen it. But I heard that it was good. I've been getting some good reviews as far as it's a good movie. And I don't doubt that it's a good movie. My only thing was, when are we going to elevate as a culture and get out of the drug criminal type of lifestyle that we kind of selling to the babies? You know what I'm saying? With the metrosexual perm into her and all these other type of images that are seen to the youth and to the babies, and how it's going to affect, you know, how they see themselves and how they see the world. So that was my only thing. But I don't doubt that it's a good movie. And like I said, I've heard some good reviews that it was good. So I may check it. I don't know if I'm going to go to the show. But, you know, if it come on DVD or catch it on a Fire Stick, I may check it out.
You saying that Mufasa?
No.
Are you
No.
Why?
No, my brother.
What's your
and my
decision?
Sister.
Why?
Yeah, what's your reason for not seeing it?
Because I done been to Wakanda, and I ain't coming back. And they's not taking me back. They're not taking my mind back to nigga world. Nope.
Right.
And I seen them previews. I mean, I ain't got time for to see us doing all that crazy drug and criminal activity. I can walk outside my door and see that. So I ain't finna pay to see it. I ain't finna pay no money to see it.
See it for free, huh?
You know what I'm saying? I can see that. Yeah,
right,
I can see that for free.
Right, on the
news. Yep. All I gotta do, I can jump in my car. I can jump in my car and on my way going to see Superfly. See all
Superfly
that activity.
For real.
You mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, let's keep it real with y'all. Like yesterday, me and my lady, we was riding and we rode through, you know, we grew up on the west side of St. Louis. I done been all over St. Louis, you know, so all of the St. Louis is my home to me. But we rolling through the hoodie hood.
Right.
And I'm just like, I just started getting depressed. You know, I just was getting depressed at looking at how some of our people are still carrying themselves. You know, prostitute, drinking, you know, just dilapidated houses. People going through life like they don't care, driving reckless through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I just like, man, it was depressing. Like, man, we got 2018, we still got so much work to do.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Like, man, it was bumming me out. You know, so, yeah, I see all that crap, man. And then, like, my kid was telling me today, talking about she wanted to go down to see the Pride Parade. I'm like, what?
I heard about that. I heard about that. And like, I was riding through the street. Yeah, I seen that.
That ain't for me. I don't partake in that activity myself. No, I was a straight person. It ain't entertaining to me. And they're trying to tell me, you know, it's a parade and it's fun things to do. No, not for a straight man. Not to me.
All right, that was gonna be the question. Can Can straight people hang out at Gay Fest or Gay Pride Week? I mean,
I don't understand why they would.
But I'm just doing it. Exactly. Exactly.
Boy, they kill me. Why would you want to?
Why would you want to? Exactly. But yeah, they was they had their little parade, and that's the big thing. Like I was telling Roger Starr, I was like, the gay community is just as racist, or even more racist than the regular heterosexual racist. So you getting it both ways. You know what I'm saying? Like you getting it both ways. So as far as, you know, a black gay person, you know, you getting it both ways. So you better keep black first and understand what team you really on, and it's not the LGBT team.
Yeah,
real for me.
Yeah, I'm monitoring what I say so we don't get flagged, get in trouble.
I heard I heard that YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, they've been cracking down on a lot of people. So I was peeping the brother Dr. Boyce Watkins, and he say it's a new social media website for black people. It's called Black Enough. And I haven't looked it out yet, family, but I said I was going to take a look into it.
Black Enough.
Look, it's called Black Enough. It's called
nothing.
It's spelled.
Oh, Lord.
Right.
I ain't buying
it's
into
spelled,
it.
Right. Okay. What you mean buying into it as far as young?
Well, because.
It still can be monitored, but what he's saying is your videos won't get flagged. Like, if you have a strong opinion about, like, black issues or something like that, you won't get flagged like they do on these other platforms. That's all. So, yeah, it's still online, and
it's still online, okay.
And it's still to be monitored and, you know, watched. And, you know, it's not like that. He just saying your content or your page won't get taken down if you post something, you know, that others
may think
is
dangerous.
I think so, too,
because I think what they're trying to do is shift people to, it's like concentration camp almost. You shifting. You want to shift certain people here now.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's going to be something up with that. No,
yeah, possibly.
I mean, but it's
yeah, possibly.
That'd be like, we got all you black identity, all you black identity extremists in one spot.
I mean it's definitely create more jobs.
Right. Because
they're going to be monitoring 24/7.
Right.
Trying to
right,
say,
right.
Hey, this is what's going on. This is how they feel. This is what they thinking.
But yeah, for me, like I done took a detox on social media. Like I still got my Facebook account, but I'm not on there. I don't have the app on my phone. I don't have a Twitter, Instagram. I'm just kind of being free from social media as far as that go. Now I do check out YouTube. That's where I get a lot of information from. And then I just go to different little websites and read articles as far as the news. But I actually feel like I haven't missed a beat by not being on social media. You know,
yeah,
I don't
you know
feel
I
like
I for that too.
Yeah, I don't feel like I missed nothing. I don't feel like I'm not a part of no conversations. It's like it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm all for that too. And it's actually helped me to focus on more business things that I needed to do.
Facts. There you go. There you go.
Yeah. I'm taking up too much of my time. You know, scrolling, want to see what everybody doing, and this, that, and third. Like, I got stuff I need to take care of. I don't have time to keep messing around with this, man. Now, I do still have my Instagram. I do still have it.
Right. I think I may.
It is what it is.
I don't know. I think I may get a Twitter because there'd be a lot of news on Twitter and a lot of get information. But then I don't want to get sucked in because I get on there and get to having conversations with people. And it just go all type of places. You know what I'm saying? You'd be on there. You'd just be on there all day and conversations carrying 2 and 3 days. Then you know it's a problem. Like, it's just you just on there because I'd be throwing stuff out there to get people to react and think. And we'll just be going in forever. So that kind of got draining after a while. You know what I'm saying? It kind of drained your energy and zap you. You be like, man. So, You know, but you know, to each his own.
And how you use it, but just like anything, you're supposed to do everything in moderation anyway. You know, so
that's a fact.
And it's how we use it. Like I say, everything is a tool, and we just have to know the correct way to use the tool.
That is a fact.
I got a question for y'all. Two, actually. My first one is, okay, in the Nation of Islam, we believe that Elijah Muhammad is the baddest black man that ever walked on the planet.
Facts.
Okay.
Who would y'all say, who would y'all nominate for the baddest, boldest black man on the planet?
On the planet,
that
you would
walk,
on
who has walked on the planet. Who has walked on the planet. Yes.
Who has walked on the planet. That's a tough one.
Right, you went Cosmic Kev on
this
time.
Yeah, you went Cosmic Kev a little bit, but
I don't know.
Can you think of anybody? I mean, off the top, I want to say Malcolm, but then you got to go.
My granddad.
Right. Granddad.
My daddy.
Now look, I learned this too, and
Bold
I gotta verify. But I gotta verify this too. But I heard that the Bible actually predicted that Elijah would come, and a lot of people point to Elijah Muhammad being that particular prediction in the Bible. What they were saying, there's some verse in the Bible where they say Elijah's coming, and you know he goes to free the people and all that, and they saying that he is the Elijah that they was talking about. And if you think about it, the way he elevated black consciousness is like he almost is that person. You know what I'm saying? Because we talking about a people who was coming out of slavery, going to Jim Crow, and he pops up on the scene and gives you all this knowledge and information. Like stuff
with a third grade education.
Stuff unheard of, like what, like the foundation of black consciousness today, you know, comes from that man. So, yeah, it's definitely something to him.
Facts.
He's definitely up there with one of the top black men in this country or in this, you know, in so many
generations. Yeah, he was prophesied.
He was prophesied,
you know,
right.
He was prophesied about, man, what did the man straight up talk to the black man and woman on this continent that dealt directly with us? Who else empowered us, or uplifted us? Guess us.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
No one compromising or nothing.
No compromising.
Yeah.
No compromise. Yep. So
it's definitely something to that. So I can't really think of nobody offhand, but I would say he's definitely on the short list.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is what it is.
Yeah,
you know,
so how's it been coming at the Mines? I mean, how's it been coming for you at the Mines?
Oh, it's going good, man. All I can tell you is it is a lot to learn. A lot to intake in, but it's good to be around, you know, some motivated and positive brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? And righteous people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let me ask you this. Like, beforehand, though, do you think you was already on a path of, like, on the scale of 1 to 10, how do you think your circle was? Like within the past 2 years, were you around motivated and righteous, positive women and men?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
But the difference is being around this particular group is very much more structured. It's like a military.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? That's the difference.
Thanks.
when you're rocking with this group. You got laws, and you move a certain way.
It is,
you know
what
I'm saying?
Y'all got a code of conduct, right? Y'all got a code of conduct.
Definitely code of conduct. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that'd be my
that's
thing. That's what we need as a people.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
And that's why I always we get on that. We're gonna get on that down the road, because I'm telling you, it's a lot to share with y'all on it, and a lot to talk on. You know, I always been down, like I said in the past, always been down with the teachings of Elijah. Just had to go ahead and quit running, and just say, let me go ahead and make a full time commitment. But the same, everything that they believe and they rock with was already basically instilled in me some type of way.
There you
some
go.
Some type of way, yeah. it was already there, because I'd be like, yeah, that fit for me. I rock with that. I believe it. That makes sense to me. So it was just already there. You know, and that's why I wanted to ask all that question about, if you think about it, who is the biggest, baddest, boldest black man on the planet? And right now, all fingers seem to be pointing at Elijah. You know, outside of his his minister, his son, Louis Farrakhan. And Louis Farrakhan gonna point you right back at the daddy.
Right. Yep. Shoot. Yep. I must say, you sure right about that.
Speaking of the biggest, baddest black man, I can't wait till next week.
Woo! Hey, you remember I said I had? You remember I said I had two questions? You remember I said two questions? That was my second. So you hit the nail right on the head. Go ahead, Roger.
You can't wait till next week. So
go ahead and promote it.
Next week.
Remember when we said what we're gonna be discussing next week? Are there still any single good men out here? You know, between the ages.
Oh,
we looking for good
between
men.
The ages 35 to 55.
Right. We looking for good men out here. We're trying to. I say that they still exist. Mufasa say.
Okay.
You know, they hard to spot.
It's like spotting a Bigfoot. Snowman.
Yeah, it's like the bottom of snowman. It's like looking for the Loch Ness monster. So.
Yes.
Dang. Yeah, well, we might as well turn it to a relationship show. Nah, we can just keep it as in any good man.
What a good man.
Yeah, man.
Single.
Yeah.
And single,
still
right.
Still single.
Oh, anybody that can hear us right now, if y'all are listening in, or if you get this down the road, next Sunday, make sure you have your good single men call in. They got to be between ages of 35 and 55. And the question I'm going to hit them up with is,
why
if you're such
you
a great man,
single?
Why are you single?
Why?
I want to know.
Back.
Why are you single? Tell me. Because I don't get it. I don't understand.
What if a brother just got divorced or got out of the divorce?
Yeah, how you classify
is that,
him?
Is that reasonable,
why,
right?
Why did you get divorced?
If you're such a good man.
Why?
It is
you
what
know?
It is.
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Why you get divorced,
if you're such a good man.
Yeah, you on the hot seat. I'm putting you on the judge's bench. I mean, in the jury box.
Man.
Whatever, on the stand, whatever you want to call it. Your tail on trial next week.
Oh, man.
35 to 55.
Even if she left him, you like, well, you must not
why
think
she
leave something right, because she ain't going to leave no good man. And if you if he left her, it's like, why would you leave a woman if you're such a good man? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And also, if she left you, then why you ain't picked up another one?
It is.
Right.
Now, if she just left you, if she left you a week ago, okay, cool. But if you've been single for longer than 60 days, it's something wrong with you.
60 days?
No,
yes.
Stop
60
it.
Days.
Stop it,
you're
60
not supposed
days.
To just hop off into nothing
he
in 60 days.
Right.
Yes, you is.
Stop. No, that's,
yes,
that's,
you
no,
is.
No, that may be too soon, brother. Like,
that,
but let's say this
is.
For next week. Let's say this for next week.
Yeah, it's going to be on.
Because we got
it's going down.
So, yeah, we should. Well, I don't know about that one, bro.
It's going down.
You got two
it's
months.
Like, what,
to get back
I mean,
in
what, are you, birthing out here?
60 days.
You can't be single for longer than
from
60
the time
days.
You jumped out of relationship. From the time you got out of relationship,
it was somebody right away.
You better have you another woman within 60 days or something wrong with you.
See, you do know that's 2 months, don't you?
Yes,
right.
I do.
Take
I'm
going
to
date somebody.
Man. I'm
right.
going to say 30.
I've been saying longer than 2 months now.
I almost want to say 30, but I say
it
60.
It is what it is.
You better get up on somebody. What you waiting on?
Right.
Let me sitting there waiting and procrastinating. 60 days, brother. One that dumps you, you should have two or three more that you interviewing.
Right.
Yep, they should be getting interviewed. Yep.
That's interesting. So,
and
yeah,
why I say I almost want to say 30. But I'm going to be nice and say 60. Shoot, you should have you some interviews popping off. Like, okay, well, she done dumped me. I got this girl next week and this girl going on a date with her the week after. And I'm interviewing. I'm getting me a mate.
That doesn't sound like much of a good man to me.
What, to interview?
How you doing? I'm
going to
have this one next week and
then
this next. That doesn't sound like.
You dating. Because that's dating.
No,
that's
no.
Dating.
Well, we definitely
going to
say that for next week.
Right, let's say
that
for next week. So, call in, collect your minds next week. Are there any good black men or men from 30 to 50? Or what'd you say, 35 to 55?
35 to 55.
Call us next week, man. I hit the city, yeah. We shall. Collective Minds Radio.
Tune in next time. It's going to be a great show. 60 days.
Yeah.
60 days, that's all you got. If you ain't got nobody in 60 days, you a mess.
You weak. You weak.
And well, thanks for tuning in. Check us out next week. Find us on social media, Facebook, everywhere. Check us out every Sunday. 5:00 p.m. Central Standard Time. 7:30 p.m.
They see these black queens love you. All of a sudden, now they hoes. Black queens. Most of our elders ain't shit. And all these niggas so sad. They sold their soul for some crumbs. That's what make it so bad.
Dang.
I know what make them so mad. I got something they never
had.
In the middle of a lecture.
Yeah.
I changed lives, then dab. Black power in this motherfucker. I'm people's champ like Rocky. It's time arrogant and cocky. So what, you can't stop me.
Yeah.
Niggas hating on low. They don't wanna see me make it. They try and sabotage my show. They don't wanna see me make it. I hit your city, you ain't show. They don't wanna see me make it. They don't wanna see me grow. They don't wanna see me make it.
Yeah.
I swear this shit so sad. It used to hurt so bad. How as soon as success comes.
Yeah.
All these niggas get mad. Niggas hating on the low. They don't wanna see me make it. They try and sabotage my show. They don't wanna see me make it.
Yeah.
They mad at young girl, the truth. They mad that I do. They mad I be rocking
these jokes.
They mad I pull up in the coupe.
Yeah.
I'm sipping wine out of feral cup.
Yeah.
I'm sipping that thing like it's juice.
I
hit the stage with the biggest pump.
Yeah.
I walk in that bitch like a rope.
Proud.
They mad I be teaching the people. The way that they wish that they could. They mad I say nigga and curse. What bitch I grew up in a hub.
Yeah.
I speak my truth real loud. I got your whole city hearing me. 300 plus crowd. I don't need no security.
Nah.
Bitch, I grew up in the streets.
Yeah.
Every day it was dangerous for me. I stayed strapped with a pistol. My life they was trying to take it from me. I've been delivered by the ancestors. My people see greatness in me. I ain't never had shit. Why you trying to take it from me?
Yeah.
Niggas hating on low. They don't want to see me make it. They try and sabotage my show. They don't want to see me make it. I hit your city, you ain't show. They don't want to see me make it. They don't want to see me grow. They don't want to see me make it.
Yeah.
I swear this shit so sad. It used to hurt. hurt so bad. How as soon as success comes, all these niggas get mad. Niggas hating on the low. They don't wanna see me make it. They tryna sabotage my show. They don't wanna see me make it.